soul to soul, spirit to spirit, readings of the heart in oneness from the island of Kauai. It is such a wonderful feeling to be with you again, to share the words of the Father. You may remember that before the crucifixion of Jesus, Pilate offered the angry multitudes a choice. Among the prisoners was a murderer named Barabbas. According to tradition, Pilate could release one prisoner, and only one. And so he cried out, "Which one should I release? This one who committed murder at the insurrection, or the King of the Jews?" Perhaps we should point out the symbolism of this choice. The real choice was not between one man or another man. Mankind was being told that every man has a choice between death and life. You can continue to live in a body that dies, or you can elect to live in a body that is eternal. That choice has never really been offered to mankind clearly, but it is there always. Pilate himself was a symbol of world mind and its reliance on the authority of physical power. Now he gave the crowd a second choice. They wished to release Barabbas. He was uncertain. So he cried again, "Then what should I do?" "With him whom ye call the King of the Jews." And the angry cry came back, "Crucify him." And so, again, the symbolism is that eternal life was being rejected, and death, human life in a body that dies, was to be released. And I'd like you to remember that broad symbolism. At that time, the eternal Christ body of Jesus, which had performed life-giving miracles on earth, was unknown to the human race. Men spat upon that life. But unaware that they were defiling their own eternal body, they scourged him, they mocked him, and in their mockery, they did a strange thing. Blinded to life, hypnotized by materialism, they were compelled by spirit to clothe the body of Jesus in purple, to mock him as a false king of a false kingdom. That was their purpose. But Spirit had another purpose. Spirit was talking to mankind. It was saying that all men live in the illusion of flesh, except this one whom the mocking crowd had clothed in purple. The color purple was the hand of spirit, identifying for us the eternal body of the one called Jesus the Christ. Barabbas, of course, is a symbol of human materialism, dead to his own immortality, to his own immortal body, to his own eternal life. Today we are still prisoners in our physical sense of body. 2,000 years. In human bodies. When the Holy Ghost breaks that illusion for you, you will experience a strange and wondrous peace. Peace that passeth understanding. Ignorance, superstitions of your human mind, manifesting as material laws, material concepts, will be revealed as mirage. Human will, with its many detours, will dissolve. And God's will express as your living thought the kingdom of God's creation will no longer be a stranger to you. Your new body will look exactly the same to everyone who sees you. Your children, your friends, will see the same body where they see you. But you will know that a transformation has taken place. To you, good and evil will no longer clearly be defined. Your new consciousness will not see good health and bad health. Impressions will be different. Your goals, which once loomed so large and enticing, will seem to be less in the future but more in the present, and already standard equipment for your being. You will feel a constant sense of rightness, of confidence, that something wonderful is living your life in higher dimensions. Something more wonderful than you had even hoped for, but had never realized. You'll discover that error, frustration, and doubt have all vanished from your life. Something has been added, automation on a large scale, and it moves you into projects that you have never quite experienced in a way that is earth-shaking, and always with a sense of harmony that defies description. Out of the sense of physical form, you live under grace, moving in the rhythm of God. fulfilling the divine plan in you. Perhaps you have already discovered that as your healing consciousness is strengthened and the release of healing power increases in you, that there is also a noticeable release from your own sense of physical body. This change will be followed by a larger release from material limitations as you become aware of certain weaknesses you may have accepted and learn to eliminate them. Before we isolate these weaknesses and correct them, let's give the universe back to the Father, to the Source. And let us stand quietly in the secret place of the Most High. This may shock you, but have you been trying, as a healer, to heal human bodies? That is a no-no, and for many wonderful reasons. Even God cannot heal a human body. You see, God never made a human body. And God is the only creator. God made all that was made. And God did not make 5 million human bodies with AIDS. God did not make 20 million human bodies with cancer. Or 50 million human bodies with infections, dysfunctions, defects, defective organs, and so forth. Well, then, who made these billions of imperfect bodies? Do you have a God capable of this insanity? Now, here the spiritual healer must turn from the broad way that leads to destruction and follow the narrow path that leads to life, life eternal. This is the place where you leave the concepts of mother, father, child. This is where you become absolute. And really, you have no choice. You must live in spiritual wholeness, with spiritual integrity. You must know that the human body, which denies the allness of God and the Spirit of God as the only living substance in creation, that human body has no existence. And the best way to nail down your knowledge of the non-existence of human bodies is to begin with one essential truth. Please listen carefully and make this truth the nucleus of your healing consciousness. I have no physical body. My patient has no physical body. have no physical body to heal. I cannot heal a physical body because God never made one. I am spirit. I am a spiritual healer. This patient has called me to heal his concept of a physical body. And if I try to do that, I will fail. My job is to take this patient out of his body prison, out of his body dream, above his sense of physical body. And my treatment begins when I avoid the trap of believing in two bodies, his physical body and my physical body, and recognize there is only one body present, only one, and that is the one infinite spiritual body of God. And that is the Christ body of my patient. And that is the Christ body of me. And that is the Christ body of mankind. This is spiritual wholeness. And this prepares you to be a healer. Now I must raise my consciousness to contact God. Now I must recognize the spiritual truth of my body and my patient's body in order to release the flow of power into consciousness. To reveal a spiritual harmony that has never changed. The harmony that always is. To reveal the divine identity of the one who requested the help. Above all physical appearances, where there is no person to be healed. No body to be healed. No corporeality. No discord. Only the Spirit of God. The image and likeness of God. The temple of the living God. You see, the temptation to improve humanhood is the trap. And when you start off on that foot, you're moving away from Mecca. When you accept a graven physical image, you are the blind leading the blind. We must live above the belief in human substance, drawing eternal substance from Christ within, seeing perfection through the single eye of Christ consciousness. Now let's review the first phase of treatment to reach the inner emanation of God, the pure spiritual substance of God. I am that substance. I must be awake and aware that I am not finite matter, living in physical space, I am not living for the meat that perisheth. God is my Father. God is the Father of my patience. We are not human. We are not human bodies. We are one, imperishable, divine substance. We are God's substance. We are not prodigal. Above the mirage of form, above the sense consciousness which sees form through a glass darkly, above the limitations of human vision, we know the truth. God is always right here. And God is all that is here. Yes, you have been tested. Finite matter is the test. Accept finite matter, and you deny the allness of God, who is infinite, encompassing all that is real and spiritual. Accept finite form as reality. And you are open to the never-ending sense flow of imperfect human body images that a fool man is thinking that men live in human bodies. The second false belief is that there is life in human bodies. The only life there is the life of God. And until you are the realized life of God, your separation from God remains the separation of your patience. The power of God's life flows through your spiritual body, which is the one body and the one life of all men. And when you are willing to accept no less than that one spiritual life and one spiritual body as your life and your body, the power of that life and that body will raise up your patience. Your treatment is not yet over. You must know the truth, the whole truth, to be free. And there is no truth about man. The only truth there is the truth about God, for God is all. Do you have a sick patient? If you have, you have been tricked into believing that God is not all. Just as your patient has been tricked into believing that he and God are two. With this false belief, he is exactly like 10 billion others. Mortals who live in a false sense of self, a false sense of body, and a false sense of life. Your job is not to fall into that trap. Please remember, no matter what claim is presented to you, it must be false. Every claim is false. And that false claim exists only because the patient has accepted a life and a body that is not the life and the body of God. This is the source of every infection, every discord, every appearance of a condition. But because God is all, who are these sick patients? Where are their assorted ailments? Ah, do you see the mirage? They are the byproduct of a mortal dream projected on a cosmic screen by mortal thought and feared by the same mortal brain that projected them. Now you are called upon to dissolve these mirages, to see them as appearances without substance, without a law to sustain them, without power. And as these appearances meet your awakened awareness that you and your patient are the life and body of God, infinite, these appearances will scatter and dissolve and flow back to the nothingness from which they came, like mighty Goliath crumbling before the slingshot of little David. Your spiritual fidelity to God's truth in you and as you, in your patient and as your patient, will take men out of illusion, out of the sense of imperfection, into the perfection of reality. As the power of your consciousness of truth meets and defeats the lie, the peace that comes upon you begins your real treatment. Up to now, you've been preparing the way. Now, God within gives the real healing treatment. The sunshine of truth eliminates the shadows. The grace of divine self realized is the miracle worker within. Divine life has no opposite, and this knowledge must manifest in a pure consciousness. On earth as in heaven, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. the realization of oneness with God for you and your patients gives you the assurance that God is on the scene. And this inner assurance is the living Holy Ghost within you, which now becomes the living Holy Ghost within your patient. And this divine comforter opens the inner eye to inner truth, to the kingdom of love, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of indestructibility. Now we stand in the highest of the high, one, infinite one, perfect everywhere. And this so-called patient has no existence. There never was a patient. You were healing God unaware. And because God is the only, there are not two now, you have come to that holy place where the divine self is realized, and you can say to the Father, I and the Father are now one, realized. And in that precious moment, that eternal moment, we stand now. Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My peace passeth all understanding. The glory of the Eternal Father will be made manifest in the life of your patient and in all those who come to you as you are able to reach this pinnacle of realization that everyone who comes to you is God invisible, that everyone who comes to you is already perfect, that everyone who comes to you is the invisible self of you. And every time you are trapped into believing there are two, that there is a healer and a patient, you will find great difficulty in rising above that false notion. You will be denying the allness of God yourself, and your patient will be trapped in your hopeless situation. We are so fortunate to have these principles of Joel, to have them in books where we can find them again and again, and to hear of them, and to associate with students who seek only the truth of God. We are blessed. We are blessed because today the color purple is becoming meaningful. Yes, they buried him, and before they buried him, they inadvertently clothed him in purple, not knowing that that was a symbol of the eternal body, which could never be buried. That symbol is a symbol of your spiritual body, which can never be buried. Clothe yourself in purple. Weave your purple. Day after day, know the purple of eternal life as your body, your only body, and refuse refuse to live in a physical body that must die, because you're not living in one now. You're living in a concept. And the truth will set you free. Know that truth, and you will be free. I am not in a physical body because God made none. My body is not sitting in a chair. My body does not walk visibly in a room. My body is everywhere of substance that will never die. Dwell with this in your meditations. Bring it to your healing consciousness. Expose your so-called patient to this inner truth of your being and make it his inner truth. And the world will remember the healings that come from your knowledge of reality. Peace I give unto you, but not a peace that passeth, a peace so deep that within you is a well of confidence, an innate knowledge of reality, an inner eye which reveals to you the eternal presence of the kingdom, which is your being. You are not separate from the kingdom. You do not walk in the kingdom. You are the kingdom. Rest in the kingdom of yourself, the kingdom of your soul, the kingdom of God. Rest in your Christ body. This is the fourth tape. And when we have completed this fourth tape, it is the plan of spirit that we know that we need not be prisoners of the body, that we can step out of the false prison to which the human mind has surrendered, that the doors of our prison can open as they did for Paul, that we are moving into a new era in consciousness, an enlightened era, when here and there across the creation men stand up and declare their divinity proudly, unafraid, and live their divinity and express their divinity and lift their fellow man to his divinity. Here one, there one, and across the universe, an army, a divine army, a circle of Christ. Be among that group. Stand up. Show your divinity. Let it illuminate your household, and let that light shine. The color purple is a secret symbol used throughout the Bible. Unfortunately, the metaphysical dictionary does not mention this symbol. And various expository dictionaries dedicated to an explanation of the esoteric meaning of Bible symbols somehow also bypass this word, which is probably the major reason that Bible students throughout the world have been denied the important significance of this very, very special symbol. Purple means the full measure of Christ consciousness. And more specifically, when the Bible says that an individual is a weaver of purple, or associates an individual with the color purple in any way, it is revealing that this individual has awakened to the truth that he or she is not living in a body of mortal flesh. But is one with the spiritual, immortal body of God. This secret was handled very discreetly by Old Testament prophets. It's tucked away in the book of Exodus, Numbers, Judges, 2 Chronicles, Esther, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ezekiel. New Testament writers mentioned a little more openly, but not much. Mark, Luke, and John all reported purple on Jesus just before the crucifixion, and then in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas prayed in prison, and the foundations of the prison shake, and the doors of the prison open, the writer of Acts gives us a marvelous clue to the deep, hidden meaning of that event by placing Lydia, a seller of purple, just before the event and immediately after the event, to inform us that Paul was living in his infinite Christ body, the body of God. And then in the lost books of the Bible, there's a spiritual account of the birth of Christ to the Virgin Mary. It's written by James the Lesser, who's known as the cousin and brother of Jesus, who was the first bishop of the Christians in Jerusalem. And this is an authentic account titled the Pre-Evangelion, Protovangelion. In chapter 9 of the Protovangelion, it tells us that the high priests were making a new veil for the temple. And so from 7 virgins they selected Mary, to spin the true purple. Which meant to weave her Christ consciousness. And while Mary was spinning the true purple, she heard the inner voice. And it declared that she was full of grace and blessed among women. Mary was realizing her true body was not the flesh. She was being transformed in consciousness to realize her spiritual body. Her permanent divine body. Which was the vehicle for the eternal life of God. And that is what made this an immaculate conception. So the Word in Mary became flesh and dwelt among us. For every soul there must be a realization of spiritual identity, which homogenizes the female soul and the male spirit.